Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm the host of the program, one of the two. Jesse Thorne, the winner.
Jordan Morris, two of two. It's my Star Trek clone name as well. Boy Detective.
Jordan,
what have you won? What have you won?
I'm winning at life right now, Jordan. On this particular day,
sure.
I'm winning at life.
This sounds like a mood.
Jordan, you've got, I can't help but notice, every week you bring to the program a chalkboard.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a line down the middle. On one side at the top, it says W. And on the other side, it says L. And you put down a tally mark for me.
Mm-hmm.
Every week. Well,
the W, it's actually not for winning. It's for wig.
Oh, okay.
I just mark when you're wearing your wig. Because you wear it sometimes and you don't other times.
I thought you meant that it was a mid-19th century election.
No. No, that I
sometimes the L actually stands for bull moose.
Right, exactly.
So, okay. This is what happened, Jordan. And I don't like to start the show by bragging, I also
like 10 minutes in, 15 minutes in.
Right. I try to be honest on the program.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, and I don't want to do a backhanded, humble brag kind of situation. Oh,
no.
I found myself in
far
this situation.
Be it. Far
Isn't
be it.
That crazy?
Right.
I accidentally spilled wine on my shirt in front of Kanye West,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is.
Right.
That's not the kind of guy I am. I'm
no.
a straight shooter.
Sure.
And I try and be honest with our audience because I feel like that's the only way they can trust me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. And the reality is that I'm winning so hard this week that even if I didn't talk about it at the beginning of the show, the rest of the show, the audience would be like, what's going on with Jesse? It feels like he's winning really hard, but he's keeping it from us. There's a secret he's keeping it from us.
Sure.
Anyway. This afternoon,
we can hear his erect penis tapping on the mic. Why has he maintained a constant erection?
His tumescence is audible.
We can tell that that's a penis. We're that astute.
It's like a cask of Amontillado situation,
right.
Only with Jesse's heart on and what a winner he is.
Right, yeah.
This afternoon.
Edgar Allan Poe.
We're recording
one of the greats. Agree, Edgar Allan Poe, one of the greats?
Hey, tip of the cap to Mr. Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
Wrote a lot of stories, poems, and died of drinking.
That's true. In an incident of voter fraud.
Party man.
Yeah.
A party man
that's
and
how
a party dude.
That's how I want to go. When I'm ready to go, I'm just going to say to, you know, whoever
boss
the
tweet.
Yeah, whoever the political bosses are at the time. I'm going to go out to Tammany Hall and just say, I'm ready to go, boys. Liquor me up and take me from voting booth to voting booth until I die. Like my hero, Edgar Allan Poe.
So we're recording this week's program on a Sunday, and it's a special Sunday for the Christian faithful because it's Easter Sunday, the day when Christ returned from the dead, which we celebrate with egg searches.
And, of course, a sacred day for fans of premium television because, a new Game of Thrones is here, and I'm psyched. this is a Daenerys Stan account. Did you guys know that this show is now a Daenerys Stan account? That's a mood. Anyway.
So I held...
It was a Goose Stan account for a while, Captain Marvel's cat, and then I got tired of him.
I held one of these egg searches in my backyard with my wife and my three children.
Fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Now, were these eggs dyed? Dyed with a... Did you use the PAWS kit?
We had a...
So it's peace in Latin. No, that's PAX. Never mind. I don't know what PAWS means in Latin.
We had an interesting situation where the kids asked for it. My wife turned them down on the basis that none of them eats eggs. So any eggs that were dyed would then not be consumed.
Right.
So it would have been a waste of eggs.
They don't eat any kind of egg?
I can sometimes get my oldest to eat some scrambled eggs.
Okay.
The two-year-old... will eat.
That's a child's favorite kind of egg.
Most things that you put in front of him.
Yeah.
But there's, at least in my experience with my two older children, they each took a hard turn around 2 1/2. They now do not eat anything.
Okay.
There are pizzas
no
that they
thing.
Will not
pizzas.
Eat. Pizzas.
Are there certainly there's no dinosaur-shaped nugget they won't eat.
Oh, you would be stunned. One out of three of my children is willing to eat dino buddies.
Really?
At this point. It's astonishing. It's sickening.
Huh. Yeah.
It is sickening.
Are you concerned?
Okay.
I don't want to, you know, plant any seeds of doubt.
Right. Certainly not on this, my big day.
Right. But are you worried that your children are, in fact, maybe imposter children? Like they're not, in fact, they're not children, but maybe this is an orphanage situation.
Oh, not just like a colony of bees in a skin suit.
No, maybe like someone with a disease where they look like a child and they're trying to.
Oh, they're Websters.
Yeah, Websters. Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
are you worried?
I bought that silver spoon train set for them.
You're housing Websters. Anyway,
it's more of a facts of life situation.
So they're not eating nugs.
So they won't eat. They won't eat anything. They won't
dino
eat
dino nug or.
So
otherwise.
My wife is like, "Look, we'll put
no eggs.
We'll put a few candies into those little plastic eggs, and you can hunt for them. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to get involved in a whole egg dying thing." Mm-hmm. So we did it. It was going great.
Mostly because you're concerned about egg waste.
Yeah.
Okay. That's reasonable.
Yeah. And
I mean, you're not made of eggs.
My daughter, by the way, proposed a solution, which is plastic eggs, but you can dye them.
Okay.
That's like a business idea. Free business idea,
yeah,
for my 7-year-old.
That ain't bad. Dyeable plastic eggs.
So anyway, we're in the backyard, and we had been gone at the...
That is actually not a terrible idea for a vegan family who want like a blank plastic egg.
Yeah.
It comes with a little dye kit. Maybe you can wash it off.
Yeah, or if
like
you,
markers, maybe a marker kit.
Or if you got chickens coming over for Easter dinner and you don't want to embarrass them.
Sure, yeah.
Make them uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So it was my kids, one of my kids' spring break. Mm-hmm. And so we had been at the cabin for a few days, came home from the cabin. And I found on my desk at home, mm-hmm, my home office, a 3/4 drunk can of La Croix,
mm-hmm,
popular sparkling water,
sure,
beverage. And I happened to be, at the moment that I found it, headed to the backyard for this egg hunt, and I was holding a bag of Filipino snack food called Boy Bawang,
mm-hmm,
Cornic,
mm-hmm,
which is like a seasoned corn product.
Sure. Like a corn nut?
Yeah, like a corn nut.
Okay.
Exactly. It was garlic flavored. Very,
sure,
tasty. I love Boy Bawang Cornic. Mm-hmm. And but I happen to be thirsty because this is a salty treat.
Sure.
So I'm headed to the backyard. I see the can on my way to the backyard. I grab it. I'm like, perfect. There's some LaCroix still in here. I'm going to drink this if I get thirsty from this.
What flavor? Key lime?
I believe it was pamplemousse.
Mm.
Or grapefruit. And so I'm sitting in the backyard. Just imagine me. I'm living like a king. My children.
No.
Parade.
I won't imagine you like that. No. You can't tell me what to imagine. You're not the king of my brain.
How about this?
I can imagine what I want.
Jordan, you don't have to imagine it. Here's me right now putting on this ermine stole.
No, I refuse to look.
And purple velvet cape.
I won't look. I won't imagine.
I'll teach you a lesson with my golden scepter.
Cool.
So I was sitting in the backyard. My children are doing adorable Easter egg hunt things,
yeah,
getting excited about white chocolate,
mm-hmm,
all the, you know, foolish adventures of childhood. And I'm drinking from this. I'm having a great time drinking from this LaCroix, eating these Boy Bawang Cornics. I drink a sip of the LaCroix, and there's a what I can only describe as a wrong texture.
Mm.
Now, I want to be clear that it already had the wrong texture because I had opened this LaCroix before I went to the cabin and drank 2/3 of it, 3/4 of it, and then I was drinking the rest 6 days later.
Can I theorize as to what this wrong flavor was?
Yeah. It was a texture.
Dip spit?
Yeah. Well,
I
often confuse my chaw cans with my...
When Chris Fairbanks and I, a frequent guest on this program, used to work together, we used to like have to drive around a lot together. We would have to drive to stuff. And this was when he was dipping.
Uh-huh.
And not dots.
No.
No.
Chaw.
He would... Yeah, it's not the ice cream of the future.
How he maintained his connection to his native Montana.
Right. Yeah. And I would always, I don't know if he still does. You know, I hope he's found
another habit. The last thing we want is for Chris Fairbanks to get mouth cancer.
No.
That's the moneymaker.
Sure. We need that mouth, baby.
How else is he going to mumble? How would he mumble without the mouth?
Sure. How are we going to? What will we laugh at if Chris Fairbanks is not saying anything?
Jordan struggling to say something.
Sure. He would always have something to spit in.
Mm-hmm.
Water bottle, soda can, something like that. And he would, and always golden chalice, and always like leave it in the car. And I just my constant fear was like, I am going to have to drink my friend's dip spit. A day will come where I will accidentally drink my friend's dip spit, and then how will we work together?
Well, my son Oscar does indulge in the chaw from time
to time. Sure, yeah, he's got those yellow fingers.
But that was not the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I drank from the La Croix,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed an off texture.
Yep.
Something going on, and again, more than just the flavor is terrible unless it's borne by the bubbles. When the bubbles are gone— The flavor is awful.
Yeah, a flat sparkling water with flavor is a pretty nasty thing. The metallicness comes out.
So I said to myself, this texture is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It should be smooth and wet.
Sure.
Not lumpy and wet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had had a few smooth sips originally.
Yeah.
So this was a real curveball that had been thrown to me.
I just want to say this story... the appropriate length. I'm glad it's the length it is.
So what I did, Jordan?
Yeah.
Is I spat it right out. Guess what was in there?
Boy. I'm going to say...
Yeah, that's right, Jordan.
Hold on. Three snails.
Close.
What?
One fly. So I didn't eat the fly, and my winning streak has begun.
But the fly was in your mouth briefly.
I didn't eat it, Jordan.
That's true.
I recognized there was something wrong about it, and I spat it out. That's a W for Big J.
Sorry, fly. This mouth is for bedtime spiders only.
World champion.
Congrats,
Jesse,
man.
Thorne.
That's great.
2019 is looking up, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Mark one under W.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations, man. That's huge for you.
Should we introduce our guest?
I would love to.
Do you think I've intimidated him because of my tales of winning?
Here's hoping that he's had some sort of miraculous win in the past couple days. If so, maybe he'll be comfortable. If not, he'll just be a quiet little violet the whole time.
I mean,
he's too intimidated.
I think technically it's a pretty big W to have made it through the first 20 minutes of that bullshit story.
I interrupted too much.
Our guest on the program is a television writer for the Showtime Network. That's premium cable. His bosses, the very talented Desus and Marrow. You know him as a beloved stand-up comedian. You know him as Twitter's most benevolent pep talker.
Mm.
You know him as a soon-to-be published author, Mr. Joshua Gondelman.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
What a joy it is to have you here.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. I'm so
ever
excited.
Ever eaten a bug, Josh?
I mean, not to throw my success in your face, but
right.
I don't eat several bugs every day.
Holy shit.
Bugs would love for me to eat them,
yeah.
Lining up at the corners of my lips.
Oh,
no, 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 I say. Not today.
Like a commercial for famine relief?
Like a commercial for famine relief. But the bugs are more excited. It's not like a...
To be fair, your mouth is always filled with sugar water, though, right? A glucose solution.
That is true.
Bugs
I like to keep it sticky.
Mm-hmm.
So the bugs are like urban teens, and the corners of your mouth are like hot new sneaker releases.
My mouth is the supreme store of bugs.
Got it.
Yeah. So sometimes bugs camp out overnight
sure.
to try to
in
get in my
folding
mouth.
Chairs.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's cute.
With their parents.
Yeah.
Because if they're too young, that's dangerous that they line up at my mouth.
I live very close to like Sneaker Lineup Central or LA's Sneaker Lineup Central anyways. And it is something I know nothing about this world. It is baffling. I encounter it when I am walking to Cantor's.
You just know that where you live at any moment, you might run into Haji Beach.
Sure, yes, yes, exactly. Any of the odd futures I could run into.
Do you think over time, I would like to ask them if they've softened their stance of Wolfgang, kill them all.
it feels
like a really hard line.
Kill them most.
Yeah. It just feels like from a different time.
They've abandoned their semi-ironic homophobia. Mm-hmm. They said, look, that was something we did as teenagers. Yep. And
we just have a store that sells one unicorn shirt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we just want to kill many of them.
Many. Yeah. Most. Some.
Odd Future Wolfgang kill myriad.
I have noticed that the sneaker lineups have been getting quite young. You do see a lot of young teens there with their square old Hollywood lawyer parents waiting for sneakers. Yeah. It is an interesting thing.
It
used to be cool dudes, and now it's uncool teens.
Children and dork dads.
Yeah.
The internet has democratized, and by democratized I mean, I guess, reverse democratized that culture, wherein at this point most of that culture's biggest stars are just wealthy 12-year-olds who have a popular Instagram presence.
Or a dog on Instagram owned by real human dickheads. Just my dog's wearing Jordans. He doesn't like it. His feet are his shoes.
Yeah.
Josh.
Yes.
You are visiting LA from New York.
I am.
You brought your wife, you mentioned.
I did. I brought my wife Maris.
Where is your Instagram popular dog? Who is watching Busy?
Busy.
Busy.
Our friend Alice is staying at our apartment and watching Busy. Busy is a homebody. Mm-hmm. You can't sedate a flat-faced dog for flight.
Okay.
Because it's bad for...
Right,
Well, Busy's a pug. So you can't sedate a flat-faced dog for flight. And Busy is... Maris always says that if we could get Busy certified as a service dog, but then she would need her own service dog. She is very anxious. She's an anxious creature. So we
service don't... bird? That'd be cute.
Oh, a little dog with a bird rider? It'd be like a video game premise.
Unlikely, but delightful.
I know.
Sure, yeah.
Or what,
they could be the Banjo-Kazooie of the airport.
What about, we're picturing little dog, littler bird. What about my dog riding around on an ostrich?
That'd be great.
That would be fun.
That would be fun. And they both have little vests on.
Oh, yeah.
Little vests.
Quick question for this pug joust that we're creating.
Sure.
Would it be possible to get Dana Gould to voice your dog?
I would love for Dana Gould to voice my dog.
All sassy animals in video games are voiced by Dana Gould, right?
From Gex on.
So we don't even bother bringing her to – she doesn't even like to get in cars. So we just bribe a friend who has roommates to stay at our house alone for a week.
And we should explain, her name is Busy. She's named after her godparent – Busy Bone of Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Performing today at the Staples Center. My dog was very sad not to be there.
Yeah. I also have a...
I'm sure she'll see them at the crossroads.
I also...
Charlie's memorial service. Sorry.
I also do that with people who have bad roommates. I kind of clock all of my friends who have bad roommates. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try and catalog every I have bad roommate story.
Yep.
And I'm like, this person could be a cat sitter.
Yeah,
absolutely. This person will gladly come, and it would also maybe no cable, no PlayStation. I kind of keep track of who my friends are who don't have my cool stuff.
That's exactly it. We have a nice home that two adults over 30 have cultivated for themselves. And so maybe a younger friend will just be like, get away from your roommate situation, do laundry in the apartment, which I don't mean to brag, but no bugs have been in my mouth today and we have in-unit laundry.
I mean, Jordan lives a bachelor lifestyle, but the pros are, as you mentioned, you get to spend time with Bug, the cat, you get to play the PlayStation, and instead of a kitchen, hot tub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I do all my cooking.
Yeah. Oh, what a big stew.
Yeah, I make a giant Bugs Bunny
meal prep
stew.
It's sort of a hot tub slash pot.
Yeah, sure.
A crock tub.
But if you've never felt those Szechuan peppercorns tingling your nads.
Yeah. And I realize as I'm cooking myself in a giant hot tub that the cartoons that it's mimicking are probably problematic in hindsight.
Deeply racist, right. But so delicious.
But so, yeah. And I'm not, you know, I don't have any racial caricatures around me.
Right. That's fair.
You have a troubling pen pal relationship with a German cannibal fetishist.
Yes, I do. I know. These guys, yeah, I know. I basically take pictures of myself, and those are German cannibal thirst traps. Come to LA, Daddy, and eat me.
Josh, you've heard about the cannibal cop, right?
Oh, of course.
Well, Jordan is the cannibal union comedy writer.
Yeah.
Bug the Cat, I will say, also never been in my mouth.
Yeah. Nah, she doesn't like mouths.
Have you guys really
she's more of an armpit gal.
Have you guys really never eaten a bug?
I'm sure I've swallowed a fly on a bike or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember it.
And you swallowed a spider to get rid of
fly,
it. And yeah.
You know, I'll die.
One of my most...
I mean, that lady's definitely going to die.
Yeah, we all are.
Exactly.
Death comes for us all, spider-eating woman.
Spider-woman, we'll see at the crossroads. Yeah. It's
like, if that's really how they feel about it, the story is, I don't know why she swallowed a fly. For some reason, she thinks she might live forever. What the fuck's up with this lady?
Yeah.
One of the most troubling things that happened to me as a middle schooler... And, of course, middle school is a time of trouble.
Yes. Sure.
It's a turbulent time for all.
In River City and elsewhere.
It's the most likely age to get into Magic the Gathering.
I
definitely was.
Me too.
A bug flew into my eye and went under my eyelid.
Oh, that's the worst. Yeah.
And my school was too small to have a nurse. There was only like a few hundred students total in the school, so there was no school nurse. So the science teacher took it out with a forceps. went and got the science. They're like, who can we rely on?
That's a good call. I mean, better than, you know, English.
Used to be barbers.
Yeah, right. Yeah. This was the middle ages.
I'm so grateful, balanced my humors.
They did a bloodletting. You're like, it's just a bug in my eye. Like,
yeah, the
you probably have a demon in your brain. That's what the bug was trying to go get. So we're going to take a drill.
She's like, I've been waiting for this moment my entire career.
Maybe we shouldn't have asked the phrenology professor.
4 years of undergraduate biology, that teaching certificate, and now this, a chance to use my trepanation device.
To perform a surgery that could get me sued and unemployed forever.
Josh, you mentioned, so last time you were on the show, you had a bad Airbnb experience.
I did.
But... maybe this time you're having a good one.
I think so. We got into the place and I said to my wife, I was like, what weird thing is going to be horrible here? And we haven't found one. So it's pretty nice.
Have you used the toilet yet?
Have used the toilet.
How'd it go?
Oh, boy. It was terrific.
Describe the dump. This is a Josh's Dump Stan account. Tired of Daenerys.
A gentleman doesn't kiss and tell.
The dump?
Most people.
What are we talking about?
Jordan.
I truly don't know.
Me either.
Most people would go from Daenerys to like Jon Snow or something.
Yeah.
You bailed on Daenerys, went full Josh.
Well, first I was into Goose, Captain Marvel's cat. Then it was Daenerys, and now it's Josh's Dumps.
And you can only stand one thing at a time.
You can only stand one thing at a time.
Is this
mood.
Is this an IKEA furniture style Airbnb? Like, I can't decide. This is my honest question I'm really looking for guidance on. You know how sometimes when you're looking at the Airbnb choices,
yes,
or maybe you're on Vacation Rentals by Owner, VRBO.com. This is not about brand marketing.
Oh, you're a Vrbo?
Yeah. I'm a Taurus.
I'm also on OkCupid.
I'm a Lorba.
Ooh, what's that?
It's like a Libra, but I rent people my apartment.
Oh. Sure.
You're
very loyal.
I actually rent apartments on the Boy Bawang Cornet website.
Sure.
So, Josh, this is what I'm asking you, okay? Because sometimes when you're – especially like if we're going on tour – like Jordan and Brian and I are going to be going on tour this summer. And there is some question, well, do we get hotels or do we get an Airbnb? And we're at the number of people where sometimes we might want to get an Airbnb. Mm-hmm. Now, there's two kinds of Airbnb. One is an actual home of an actual human. That it seems like the advantage is they have to live there.
Yeah.
So maybe it's okay.
Right. They're not going to forget something. They're not going to be like, oh, fuck, water. Whoops.
Yeah.
Right.
I accidentally built a wall between the – yeah.
Yeah.
Between there's the a, top yeah, of the toilet a, and the bowl.
There's a gas leak here I don't know about.
Yeah.
So that's one type. The other type is just wall-to-wall IKEA furniture.
Yeah.
Or not even wall-to-wall, just barely enough IKEA furniture.
Yep.
And that's
just
the kind
one black and white photo of Paris hanging up.
Yeah, that's like, exactly it.
There's art in here. I did an art.
And it feels like one apartment that was somehow turned into two apartments with drywall.
Yeah, very bad.
So, but the plus side of that is there, it will be bad in a way,
yeah.
But in a consistent way, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas actual people's homes reflect them in a way that could be disastrous.
Right. Like that saying about all happy families are happy in the same way. All bad Airbnbs are bad in the same way.
Like you might just get there and there's a note that says like there's a coffee shop around the corner. Here's a couple restaurants I recommend. Feed the lion before 4 o'clock.
Right. Oh, my favorite
gets grumpy.
My favorite ones are the ones where they show up, and I think we even talked about this last time, and they give you like a list of lies to tell.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're like, it's not supposed to be an Airbnb, so if anybody sees you, you're my ex-boyfriend, and I'm very mad you're here, but it's legally fine. It's like, what? Why is this backstory so insane? Yeah.
And you love to knit and refurbish old cars.
Yep, that's what you're here to do.
Give you a couple of character details.
It's
I did show up at one once in Silicon Valley. I had an appointment in Silicon Valley. It was like it was a business meeting. I had to like go there, have the meeting, go to sleep, get on the airplane then in the morning.
Sure.
And it turned out to be like a crazy boarding house.
Weird.
Like where if you were like a foreign engineer who just got to town, you'd stay there for 3 weeks, like in the manner of someone who like showed up in colonial Philadelphia with a letter of introduction to Benjamin Franklin. Like it was so weird. Like so many people were sleeping there in what I would say was maybe like a 2 or 3 bedroom place. There was probably 6 or 7 bedrooms that had been made through various means. And the woman who owned it was there, but was not helpful or nice.
This.
So is it like it would have been better if she wasn't there.
So you went to Orphan for a Night fantasy camp.
Exactly. That is literally, it was astonishing. And I mean,
there's gruel in the fridge.
To be fair, I was in Palo Alto or some shit. And, you know, like I just should have been grateful that I wasn't paying $1,000 for a cardboard box in an alley. But that was one of my most disastrous. But I'm never sure. Because one time I went to one of those IKEA ones. You'd think it'd be terrible. But I'm going to be honest. There was a hot tub on the roof. And I went and got in the hot tub and it turned out great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Made yourself a nice stew.
Yeah, exactly.
Throwing some peppers. I cannot deal with the Airbnb when the person is there. That to me is just like, it's the anti-vacation. I feel like I'm being polite the whole time. I don't want to come home too late. You know, I would rather just fuck up a DoubleTree, you know, in that situation. Mm-hmm. So I really try, and when I'm traveling with an Airbnb by myself, to like really make sure the person's not going to be there, just because I can never relax.
I went to a foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in Denmark a few years ago, I stayed in an Airbnb that was a couple's extra bedroom. It was a fucking dream.
Ooh.
It was a dream. They lived in a cool neighborhood. They were cool. Their only disappointment was that I was slightly less cool than they were. They didn't care when I came or went. They had good restaurant recommendations. They were very nice. And they showed me how to use a shower that is undifferentiated from the rest of the bathroom.
Wow.
Which I felt like was a true cultural.
Yeah,
like
sure.
If I had been in Austin for South by Southwest, right, and somebody said, the shower head is 18 inches from the toilet seat. You sit on the toilet seat while you take your shower. I would have been like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
In Copenhagen, it felt like a fucking exchange student shit.
It felt European.
Yeah.
I was in one in Austin, and, you know, Airbnb dude said that he was not going to be there. I just clarify, because I've run into this shit too much, where you, like, maybe think the person's not going to be there, and then they're just, you know, fucking making ramen in the kitchen when you come home. And then, like, so I'm like, I'm really trying to make sure this dude's not going to be there. Because his deal was, he's like, I won't be there. I'm going on a yoga retreat with my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So he's like, I'm going to show up. I'm going to give you the keys, and then I'm going to head out on this yoga retreat with my girlfriend.
And also, if anyone asks,
right,
you're here on a yoga retreat with my girlfriend.
Right, exactly. You are part of our thruple. Yeah. The real part of our thruple couldn't be here.
Yeah.
They are with one of their other thruples at a different yoga retreat.
It's a series of interlocking thruples.
Right, sure.
It's an erotic hypnosis thing you wouldn't understand.
We call it a chain link threads.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That was great. Great job,
Thank
Josh.
You.
So I'm like, great, this dude, and, you know, great place. You'll be shocked to know the dude brewed his own beer, and he had some bottles of it in the fridge. He told me to take as many as I wanted to.
That number is always between 1 and 0.
Yeah. He called me weary traveler.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which, you know, so I think I'm painting a picture of this man.
Yeah, sure.
You can all picture this man. And so he ended up – so I was there for maybe 3 days, and he ended up coming back at the end of the first night. And I knew he had come back because his golden retriever with a bandana got in bed with me.
You're like, oh, well, this is a weird thruple.
Yeah. And it turned – so he – I like – in the morning, I'm like, oh, hey, I thought you were going to be at the yoga retreat. And he's like, no, I just – you know – I came home early. I'm like, ah, fuck, they had a fight. And then this guy was hanging around, and his dog would come get in bed both nights. I mean, actually, there was a good dog. It was a nice dog. It's fun to have a dog in the bed. But I'm also like, somebody, can you knock $200 off this thing? I'm sleeping with your dog.
I feel like my new policy is if it's not, you know, normally what I'll do is I'll go on a Hotwire, you know, discount website.
Yeah.
I don't have any loyalty points. I don't have any. I'll just take whatever is the comic, whatever is next to a construction zone, whatever is, you know,
sure,
whatever reason that it costs $100 to stay at a 4.5-star hotel, I'll take it. But my Airbnb policy now, pool house or nothing.
Mm.
If it is not, if it is not.
It has to be designed by Rem Koolhaas.
And
or nothing.
And if it is not an idyllic, like small studio in someone's backyard.
Yep.
That is the amount of interaction I want to have someone with someone, which is to say, none or as much as I want. Because if I don't want any, I can just stay in the pool house. If I do want some, I can look through their windows.
Sure.
No, but I mean, like, I want this contained space. It has a bed in it. It's got its own bathroom. It's got a kitchenette. I don't need more than a kitchenette. I'm not making a fucking fancy feast.
Mm-hmm.
What am I, a cat chef?
Sure. I'm not making a Friskies in here.
When I go on vacation, I love to – I still make cat food from scratch and eat it. It just helps
you bring your food processor.
Yeah, it just helps because you wake up in a hotel. You're like, oh, what city am I even in? And then you go to the little mini fridge and there's your homemade cat food. You're like, wherever I am, it's home right now.
Yeah, it's great to have rituals.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Yes.
Some people it's coffee. For me, it's homemade cat food.
Yeah. You smell those anchovy fillets.
Mm-hmm.
They waft towards me gently.
Yeah. That chum grade fish.
Sometimes a full fish skeleton.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, wow. You're Heathcliffing it.
And also, the wet food, great for your kidneys.
It's so good for my kidneys, which generally I don't consider their health at all.
Yeah. No. That's why you got to get that stinky
wet food.
Stinky wet food.
If I'm even eating dry food, I'll dampen it.
You gotta yeah.
Just
sure.
For the sake of my kidneys.
You gotta damp the dry.
Gotta damp the dry.
Okay. My father told me that about making love.
Before, it's all he told
before
me.
Before he shot himself in the barn. I was in the barn.
Son.
Listen, son, you gotta damp the dry. Then he put a shotgun in his mouth and pulled the trigger with his foot.
Okay.
That definitely sounds like the last words of someone who furnishes and maintains an IKEA Airbnb. Gotta damp the dry. Also, don't mind the cameras.
All right. They aren't on? The red light means it's off.
They're for when nobody's here.
Yeah.
You gotta make sure it's safe.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Jordan.
Yes.
Our friend.
Josh is here too.
Yeah, Josh, sorry.
Hey.
Our friend Josh Gondelman has a brand new comedy album. Did you know that?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, that's covered.
Yes. I want to hear no more information about it. I don't want to hear when it's coming out, where people can get it, where it was recorded, what its impressive placement is on the iTunes comedy charts. I don't. You know what? I do want to hear those things. Now that I said it, I want to hear it.
Well, honestly, now my feelings are hurt, and you'll have to ask somebody else, Jordan.
Okay,
no.
Well,
no.
I'll tell you.
You
it's
don't
number
have
two
to
on the iTunes comedy chart.
Hey!
Number one is Gallagher Live in Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm.
But number two,
you
Josh
should, you should hear what he smashes on this one, though. It's an all-audio smashing experience.
Wow.
He smashes
a bell.
Yep. A bell. It's what a lot of it is gong. It's
smashing
less comedy
gong
than, yeah, it's, well, smashing, he's just striking it kind of mournfully. It's like
sure
a doleful gong wail. But yes, I thank you. It's number two on the iTunes comedy chart, which is exciting, and recorded at the Bell House in Brooklyn. And it came out last week. It's called Dancing on a Weeknight. It's available wherever you stream things, or you could order it. I recorded through Blonde Medicine Records, and it's out on vinyl, and you can order it from the Blonde Medicine website.
Can I just say, I'm just going to say this, Jordan. Mm. I don't want to alienate anybody out there who listens to this show who works in the comedy industry as a comedian. Mm. I'm talking specifically about Steve Agee,
right.
Exclusively about Steve Agee. But I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Josh Gondelman, one of the best in the business.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best in the business,
yep,
baby.
One of the funniest there is.
Sorry, Agee.
You're also very good. You know what? You're one of the best, too. You're both amongst the best.
Yeah, but I can't say who's better.
No, why would we?
Who do you stand? Who do you stand?
Oh, boy. Oh, still your turds. I haven't gotten tired of them yet.
Josh Gondelman, this right here is a Webster Stan account.
Oh, boy.
I also love the dictionary.
Dictionary's great.
Hey, Jordan, speaking of the Bell House in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
We're headed to Brooklyn to the Bell House.
Amongst other places.
We're going out on the Summer Boys of Summer Tour. Tickets on sale now. I just got an email from our booking agent.
Mm-hmm.
Not to brag, but we're in show business.
Sure.
And he said, this is what he said, Josh. He said, let's make sure you get your comp list in for this show because it's about to sell the fuck out.
Damn.
Now, he didn't say fuck. Because he's
that'd be
polite,
a professional.
Polite professional booking agent.
Yeah, he's
so
like
it
an indie rock guy.
To
he's
me,
like a nice indie rock guy.
So it sounds to me like what you're saying is that the Summer Boys of Tutmer tour is in danger of selling out. And if people live in one of the cities we're going to, they should get their tickets now instead of waiting so they don't miss out like chumps.
And if you're a brand representative for Capri Sun and want us to sell out, we are just on the brink.
Oh, yeah.
It will not take a big offer.
We love your pouch juice.
Get us. It's more of a juice-flavored sugar water.
Sure, yeah.
But it does come in a pouch.
And it can attract ants to your mouth.
That's what I use it for.
Oh.
That's actually, I've kind of had a long-running sponsorship with Capri Sun.
Oh.
It'll,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it'll lead ants to your mouth like a horse to water, and you can make them drink.
We're going to have to switch to those
wordy
Hawaiian punch pouches.
Mm-hmm.
Or the pouches. Kool-Aid what were those called? Bursts?
Squeeze-its?
Maybe Squeeze-its.
I mean, Squeeze-its was
Squeeze-its.
Its own
yeah,
thing.
Squeeze-its yeah is the plastic thing with a little thing you twist off at the top.
Yeah.
Then you chug a lug.
But weren't those Kool-Aid branded?
Kool-Aid had their own version of that, but I think maybe it was.
They were a Squeeze-it knockoff, I think.
Yeah, I think
okay,
right.
Squeeze-it was first.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've sorted that out.
Release the Squeeze-it cut.
Yeah. You know you're an older millennial if
you sometimes confuse Kool-Aid and Squeeze-it.
You haven't turned off Jordan Jesse Go yet. Where are we going on our big Summer Boys of Summer tour, Jordan?
Starting June 12th, we're in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, boy.
With the fellas from Riff Trax.
Well, that's the best celebrities of all of Minneapolis.
Yes.
Now that Prince is dead.
Sure. And even when he was alive, these guys kicked his ass.
I mean, if you got Mike there, in addition to Bill and Kevin, that's better than Prince.
Ethan and Joel Cohen are listening and just crying softly.
Chicago, Illinois will be the next night, June 13th. We got Courtney Enlow from the Trends Like These podcast. And you're doing a DJ set, Jesse.
Yeah, that's right. They invited me to do a DJ set after the show. I'll be spinning original Soul 45s. I purchased a special box that you carry your 45s in when you are a famous road DJ like myself.
June 14th, we'll be in Seattle, Washington. June 15th in Portland, Oregon. June 26th in the aforementioned Bell House in Brooklyn. Ted Leo is going to be our guest at that show.
Among others.
Among
probably.
Others. June 27th, we'll be in Boston. Also with Ted Leo and the great comedian Lamont Price.
Oh, great. I love Lamont Price.
June 28th, Washington, D.C. with Glenn Weldon, one of our faves.
Yeah. And by the way, did you hear when we just found out what Josh Gondelman thinks about Ted Leo?
I love Ted Leo, but Lamont Price. Hold on, everybody already loves Ted Leo.
Sure.
He doesn't need a Gondelman juicing.
No.
Lamont Price is an old dear friend.
Yeah, he's a very funny.
You just you took a look at the lineup and you're like, who needs a juicing?
Yeah,
who needs a juicing?
LP.
Yeah. And June 29th, we'll be in Austin, Texas with Griffin and Rachel McElroy.
Of the McElroys?
Of the McElroy family of podcasters.
They're more popular than us.
Sure. People will just want us to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
And by that point of the tour, we will be glad to.
Take it away, McElroys, is what we'll say. And then we'll put on little sleeping caps and go to sleep.
It's time for Jordan Jesse Go's signature segment, Rachel's Poetry Corner.
Summer Boys of Summer. You can get those at MaximumFun.org/SummerBoysOfSummer. And, sounds like it's selling out. So I would get those tickets ASAP.
And, Jordan, there's a lot of literature lovers that listen to Jordan Jesse Go. I don't know if you knew that. Scriveners, librarians,
right?
Although some of the scriveners prefer not to listen.
That's true.
I'm so sorry. I'm truly so sorry.
No, it's great.
I waited too long to say it. I botched it the first time. I powered through.
You know, I mean, what's great about this is, we'll have Brian edit out the time you botched it, so now you look like a double fool.
I assumed you would go through and edit out all the things I say.
No.
It would be kind of a Sixth Sense-y podcast where you're talking to me.
No, we're going to find clips of you on other podcasts looking foolish and edit them in.
Yeah.
You don't have to go far.
This will be a greatest hits.
Yeah.
I apologize. I stepped in. You were describing the kinds of literary titans and grunts that was your podcast.
Yeah.
From titan to grunt.
T's and G's.
It's real Kilgore Trouts listening to this show.
And if you're a fan of the reading arts, well, why not check out Josh Gondelman's book? It's coming in September.
It is coming in September. I think the pre-sale link will be live, I think, this week, which is pretty exciting.
Keep an eye out for that.
Gotta get that Gondel book.
Get
onto a website. Order the Gondel book.
Any website.
Fogdog.com. Spend your flus on the Gondel book.
What's that?
Did you say fogdog.com?
Yeah.
I thought you said fuckdog.com. I'm like, I have been there. There are no books for sale on that website.
That's where you got that Airbnb in Austin.
Right, yeah.
What's fuckdog? Let's fuck with you.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Josh Gondelman, just industrious worker bee.
It's true. Look at this guy shaking his butt, showing everybody where the good pollen is.
Pleasure the queen, Gondelman.
Pleasure the queen, damp or the dry.
Damp the dry, pleasure the queen.
I'll beat you with my scepter.
You still don't get a W because you didn't bring the wig.
Sorry, man. You're not getting a W. until you wear that wig.
I do advocate for changing from the gold to the silver standard.
Ooh, sorry, it's more of a Tory move. It's more of like a Tory would want. I don't care
the
if it actually
L,
is.
The L is for
me.
Lorries, right? That's whether you want to vote for a wig or a truck.
Right now, by the way.
A British truck.
Yeah.
That scratching sound you hear is 100 AP US history teachers. Quill writing us letters.
Dear sirs.
Yeah, I know. The Bull Moose Party was in the early 20th century.
Yeah.
Okay. William Jennings Bryan, right? That was his. He wanted to see the silver
cross
standard.
Of gold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
These good are work, all, Jordan.
Thank you. Thank
good
you.
Work.
I'm great.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to move on to momentous occasions. But first, I feel like sometimes, something will happen online.
In the zeitgeist. Like, we are surrounded by what I call Josh's zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there are themes on this show. Big themes.
Yeah.
Universal.
Capital T themes.
Themes.
Man versus nature.
Lowercase b?
Yeah.
Lowercase b, capital T. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, man versus nature.
I'm going to transcribe this all later.
Something
man versus nature. Sorry.
Yeah, that things come up on the show, frequently.
Yeah.
And
just as they do in Shakespeare.
Sure, absolutely.
Faulkner. Werner Herzog.
Earth others.
Names of writers is a theme I'm noticing.
That's true. Saying things in place of a joke. Just a list of things. So
Brian edits in jokes later.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't?
Just farts.
Wait.
Just farts. Wait. I mean, you guys, I think that's maybe at some point we considered those jokes.
Then why did I smash that gong with a sledgehammer all those times?
Oh.
Brian, Jordan, if he doesn't edit in jokes later, why do I keep bringing up Bartleby the Scrivener?
Honestly, I don't know.
That's not a joke.
No, it sure isn't.
It's just an unusual name for a famous 19th century novel.
Kind of fun to say.
Yeah.
It is kind of fun to say.
And sometimes, you know, like people will send us things through various online channels, letting us know that, you know, life is imitating art. And I do consider this art.
And these channels are myriad, Josh, in our case. Fogdog.com.
Fogdog.com.
Fogdog.com. Flues.
Sure.
Those are the big three.
Yeah. Anywhere you could find us.
Yeah.
And definitely because Josh, for your purposes, we have a lot of listeners, more than your average podcast, we think, who are involved, who are part of Thruples.
Yeah.
And
to a certain extent, erotic hypnosis.
Boy, okay. We mentioned the tour earlier.
Yeah.
If the erotic hypnosis people are listening.
Yes.
And you are near one of our, the places we're performing.
Yeah.
And you come to the show.
Yeah.
I consent to being erotically hypnotized
but
on stage.
Get your tickets now.
Get them now.
Because as Jordan and Jesse's booking agent wrote verbatim in an email, people are sucking their own dicks to get into these shows.
Right.
Wait, is that what erotic hypnosis is?
I don't know.
It just teaches you to suck your own dick?
Man, first you remove your own rib.
JJ go at MaximumFun.org is our email address. You can, if you are
I
one of the erotic hypnosis people.
To being erotically hypnotized. Anyway, a big news story came down the news pipes.
What if it's just a sensual hypnosis?
No, it has to be erotic.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about just non-hypnotic erotic suggestions?
imagine yourself fucking a chicken?
Yeah, or just like... Hey, take your pants off.
Come on, do a little dance.
Can I tell you what
I'd like it a lot. It'd make my dick hard if you did a little dance.
That's how we do it back in Brooklyn, baby.
Oh, yeah, pizza pie.
I'm walking over here, and you're doing a little fucking dance.
And I'm loving it. Because I'm a horny union guy.
Who read a book about persuasion.
I'm both a longshoreman and a habitué of certain unusual subreddits.
I read the book Lean In because I didn't know it wasn't for me, and now I'm double assertive.
Okay, so sincerely, my one actual sincere thought about erotic hypnosis is what I immediately imagined was that kind of stage hypnosis where they make someone into a chicken.
Yeah.
But they're all, the person is a chicken and horny.
Right. Yeah.
That is also most hypnotists.
I didn't substitute it for the chicken. I added it to the chicken.
Hypnosis involves a chicken.
Right.
Yeah. Erotic involves horny.
Sure.
Exactly.
So.
Sorry if anyone's having Easter dinner right now.
You aren't listening to this
the podcast goes out.
So
the cameras are not on.
You're having a late Easter dinner.
via the internet currency website Beans, we've received a number of notices from Jordan Jesse Go listeners regarding important
letting news. Us know that thruples don't just exist in the Jordan Jesse Go fan community. They exist in the animal kingdom. And
it's not just chickens, Josh.
You got to get these animals listening to your podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, everybody's in 4-H. Right, exactly. Who wants to fucking win that shit
play
for once?
Play it for your goats. It'll make them angry.
If you get your goats into a thruple, do you win 4-H?
Yeah.
That, technically, it's 3-G.
Put 3-G into 4-H. Also, the goats have kind of a slow Wi-Fi.
They're on an iPhone 4.
Right? I don't know. Eat this can out of my ass. What a goat says to another goat.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's a bald eagle thruple. Along the Mississippi River in southern Illinois lives an unusual family of six bald
eagles. Oh, I read
eagles.
About this.
Two males and one female are caring for three eaglets with the world watching on a live stream. So you could tune into this kinky shit if you want to.
Yeah.
Two males, Valor 1 and Valor 2. And the female...
So Republican.
Yeah. These are some Republican thruple.
Stolen Valor 1 and stolen Valor 2.
And the female Star have been together since 2017. And let's see. It doesn't say anything here about them having a Google document that they share to organize their dating. But they take care of three recently hatched eagle chicks. Parenting responsibilities are fairly neatly divided.
Do you think they're the kind of thruple where everybody fucks together or they take turns fucking?
Well, I'm looking at these eagles and... Yeah, they're fucking
yeah. Fucking yeah. Valor mean, 1 and Valor 2.
Yeah, sure.
When three eagles fuck at the same time, a puff of smoke appears and then a Blue Angel show happens.
Yeah.
we just wanted to acknowledge Valor 1, Valor 2, and Star and thank them for their service.
And also thank them for their support of Jordan Jesse Go.
Mm-hmm.
Means a lot to us.
Yes, we appreciate it. And hey.
They're implicit listeners by being in a thruple. They're implicit-ers.
Right, yes.
You know, I kind of think in my heart, anything with a cloaca is an implicit.
Sure.
Birds, frogs, other things I didn't pay attention to in science class.
Yeah, here's the forceps. Go to town.
Yeah.
Anything that's been removed from Jesse's eyeball is an implicit listener.
Now, Jordan, it's been a few weeks since we've had momentous occasions of the standard sort.
Let's
when something
hear some.
Momentous happens to you, call us 206-984-4FUN or email us at jjgo@maximumfun.org. If you want to just hit that voice memo button on your space phone and send that over the 3G down to jjgo@maximumfun.org, that works too.
Just record it into your goat. kinky goat.
Were the three Billy goats gruff kind of a thruple?
Oh,
yeah, they was fucking.
And they're like, hey, troll, come on in.
Can I just say this
we
about goats? If you'll eat a tin can, you'll fuck anything.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely another goat. That's
sure,
like the
that's
first thing
tough.
You would fuck.
Yeah.
Let's take a call because I'm starting to lose track of what we're talking about.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, and the ever elusive Go. This is Scott calling from Long Beach, California. And I'm calling because I had my first orgasm with a butt plug in just a second ago, and it was nothing short of earth-shattering. I sort of realized that I had never really considered ass play a legitimate part of my sexuality until I sort of heard it talked about on Jordan Jesse Go. So after that, I went and upgraded my membership. So I just wanted to say thanks for that, and keep on doing what y'all do. Love you guys.
Love you too, buddy.
Love you
That's
too,
a
man.
Classic yeah. 1-2-3
Way to blast,
situation.
Pal. Now, and yeah, thanks for calling us right at. He did.
Yeah,
he did sound like he had an afterglow about him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there was. I laughed, but there's nothing funny about enjoying and being in touch with your body.
Absolutely not.
There is something funny about.
That's why you carry that hand mirror everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to finally see if I have a vagina. I look once a week just to check. Maybe it's sneaking up on me.
Were you singing the Inspector Gadget theme
Inspector
song?
Gadget. Sure. Yeah, sure. But there is.
Yeah, who cares?
I think.
Why do anything?
We have to agree that there's.
We're
something,
all gonna die.
There's something funny about calling a podcast immediately after you orgasm under any circumstances.
Sure. Yeah.
But I mean, he's just following orders. That's how when we say when the momentous thing happens, we want you to call us right away. Don't fuck around and wait for mm-hmm. 1,000 years and yep. call us in. Call in the moment if you can. And, you know, he was busy in the moment, but in the immediate aftermath,
sure.
he had a little time on his hands.
Sure.
It's called a refractory period, Josh.
I told you, I'm transcribing this later, so you don't...
I kind of resent that our listeners, you know, with their thruples and their butt plugs, have more colorful sex lives than I do.
Yeah, well, you know. You got that hot tub instead of a kitchen.
That's true, but I use that for cooking. I'm not going to jack off in there.
You have your sexy correspondence with the cannibal cop.
That's true. Then it always like goes back to him eating me.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, all right, this guy's got one thing on his mind.
Yeah, I'm talking about like, one-track mind.
I'm always like, how was your weekend? And he's like, oh, I want to eat you.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right.
Any big busts lately? Because there's two words in your name.
Sure.
Right, you're not just the cannibal.
Yeah.
Sounds like you, that. Yeah, he's so much known for cannibal, it really overshadows
this is any police work he might have done.
Right.
They could just call him the cannibal guy.
A cannibal guy, right.
Yeah. That's a salient feature to the public.
I mean, previously, before the cannibal stuff, he was known as cop.
Right.
So it kind of felt like everybody knew him as cop.
Yep.
And so they had to work
cop.
With what they had. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But congratulations to that momentous occasion.
Yeah, way to plug it up.
It's sort of like when Snoop Dogg became Snoop Lion for mm-hmm. his reggae album.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you take what you got and you build on it. It's a brand extension.
Yes.
So people knew him as Cop.
Now Cannibal Cop.
Because he likes the taste of human flesh or imagines
he would.
Yeah,
he thinks he would.
Yeah. Seems like maybe like a butt plug sponsorship is in our future. Huh?
I would love...
I'm surprised there wasn't one in the past.
Yeah, I know, right?
I would love... There's this high-end sex toy manufacturer makes them out of metal.
Mm.
These are amazing products. They're not cheap, but worth every penny. I'd love to get a sponsorship from them, but I'm not going to mention
their name.
Unless they...
If you're listening, you know who you are.
They know who the fuck they are.
In my neighborhood in Brooklyn, there's a sex toy and paraphernalia shop that has one of those signs up in the front that says immigrants and refugees welcome here.
Yeah.
And it's like that just must be such a balm to the horny refugee community of New York City.
It's like I fled
I'm without
camps.
A country and I need to blast.
Which just implies that other places in the city that the owner of that shop is so good-hearted and generous of mm-hmm. spirit that they couldn't abide mm-hmm. by the possibility that somewhere there's like a racist sex
dildo.
Shop owner. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's just like, ugh, coming to my country and fucking putting my butt plugs in your ass.
Whites only.
Not on my watch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay. Well, I know where I'm patronizing the next time I'm horny in Brooklyn. Yeah. Which, well... That's got to be the title. I was going to do one of those, and that's the title of Matt.
Yeah.
But I couldn't think of anything. Horny in Brooklyn, what would that be?
Originally the title of HBO's Girls.
There you go. That's good.
Direct-to-video sequel of Vampire in Brooklyn?
Mm, yes. Yeah.
It's a,
these all work.
A Brooklyn-specific reboot of Real Sex.
Mm-hmm.
Horny and hey, it's the guy.
Hey, oh yeah,
it's the guy from before.
We had a guy.
We got him.
There was a guy.
Touch your nips. I'm just saying.
They're very sensitive.
Take this ice.
I'm a sex therapist. This one's actually pretty serious. I will help people deal with their traumas.
Hey, deal with your trauma for me.
Oh, yeah. Let me see the trauma. Splay it out.
Splay.
Splay your trauma for me.
It's terrifying.
Splay is a word that, like, I feel like you only apply after the fact. You're like, oh, they splayed. They were splayed.
You don't tell someone to splay.
Splay it. You're like, ugh. What are you going to cut me in half?
Here's my request. Hey, internet. Let's stop worrying about people saying moist and start worrying about people saying splay. Can we make splay the new word that people on salon.com complain about? Brian, play another call so that we can stop talking about this.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jesse. Hi, guests. This is Leela calling from Western Massachusetts with a momentous occasion. I had to pick my mom up from the airport in Hartford super duper late last night. And so I'm driving through a city adjacent to my town that is not known to be the best city to drive through late at night. But it was relatively deserted and I didn't see a lot of traffic and I kind of went the back way and I'm on Canal Street, which is just a series of red lights. I'm sitting at a red light.
Can you pause it, Brian? We know the city is Manhattan. We know where Canal Street is.
Right, it's Chinatown.
I mean, yeah. It's interesting that this woman was talking about going the back way because of her last caller. Anyway.
This woman seemed also trepidatious about going the back way.
I mean, oftentimes on the first time, you are. Because, yeah. You know, you've been told by society that you're not supposed to.
Don't buy your metal sex toys on Canal Street. Don't get the bootleg shit.
You can't spell canal without anal. It's me again.
I've gone from Brooklyn to Manhattan.
That's right.
I'm going all five boroughs, baby. Watch out, Long Island.
Hello, please.
Not a borough.
Some erotic adventures.
I'm here to jack off in Queens.
People are going to be coming in the Bronx. People are going to be coming on Staten Island.
Here I come, New Canaan.
We're going to have
Jersey City, watch the fuck out.
Some people say Philadelphia is the sixth borough. They're going to be jacking off in Philly.
While Philly fans throw batteries at them.
That's the only way you can come in Philadelphia. They call a battery a Philadelphia butt plug.
I mean, this is fun. But
no, it's not.
You'd pay $20 to get sucked off by the Philly Fanatic.
Oh, yeah.
I spent like my late 20s in a throuple with the Philly Fanatic and Gritty, who didn't exist yet. I knew him, though.
Sure. Before he became a mascot, just a coincidence.
Yeah, before he was a mascot,
somebody stopped him at an Orange Julius and was like, you've got a look. I'm an agent for mascots.
You guys have seen Boogie Nights, right? It was like that, but for mascotting.
Oh, sure.
Brian, play the rest of this call, I guess. The woman's driving through New Canaan, Connecticut.
On Canal Street, which is just a series of red lights. I'm sitting at a red light, and it's not changing. And I'm suspecting that it's one that maybe needs more traffic on the other side in order to change. But at this point, I'm considering just running the red light because it is, you know, midnight and there's nobody around. And as I'm pondering this option, a cop rolls up behind me, and that kind of on that idea. So I sat there some more and I sat there some more and then I thought, what are we going to do? This light is never going to change. And then the cop whipped around me with his blue lights on and made the light change green and then made all the lights change green. And we just went down this whole street, just green light after green light after green light. And it was truly magical. Bye.
Bad news though.
Mm.
Guess what cop that was?
Oh no! Run!
Oh no!
And definitely don't get in a giant cauldron and fill it with vegetables.
That's right. It was kindergarten cop.
It's not a tumor.
He was driving.
You can't spell canal without anal.
He was driving straight to the cauldron district. Oh no!
It's just witches and cannibals as far as the eye can see.
It's a pretty bad neighborhood. A lot of open cauldrons, if you know what I mean.
Do a little dance for me. Makes me horny. Maria, you are my wife. Maybe not anymore. Are we divorced?
I have that grown child who was by my housekeeper. That was a sad story. He did pay for the kid and kept him around.
No, not he, me. Stay in character.
I paid for the kid and
you
kept him around.
For the kid.
So it's weird, but it's not totally sad.
This character
at least
is like,
I owned it.
Is like the third beat of 300 Harolds being done at the same time.
Yeah,
it's just every quality.
This is upsetting to. It's just, this is an upsetting episode to everyone, but the most obnoxious improv asshole who's loving it.
Yeah.
I'm not an eagle. Like,
what? Why, of course
I don't
you
know.
Aren't.
Yeah.
I bought this cauldron with flues. Internet currency.
Will the new Terminator be good?
I'm just kind of curious about that myself. Linda Hamilton's back. That's cool.
And
that's
he wants to know, the star of the movie doesn't always know whether the film's going to be good until he sees the final cut.
Absolutely. I mean, you go out there and you do the best you can.
Yep.
And it doesn't really...
I got to see the dailies and they were impressive, but they don't have the digital effects inserted yet.
It just looked like I was pointing a gun at, like, a building.
But convincingly, especially when you consider my age.
Gondelman Schwarzenegger's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yours is easily the best.
Thank you. I never know. I can do, like, a convincing impression for, like, 4 syllables, and then the wheels really fall off.
Yeah. Schwarzenegger's a good one because you can just kind of make a noise. You can just go, blow!
Yeah, it's very good. It's so fun. You can tell why every comedian in the 80s
did
it. God,
I know. There's just, it's just...
like, I wonder if Arnold Schwarzenegger... was fucking anywhere. Who cares? You're going to love it. You're going to go crazy when I say this.
I'm outside.
People are like,
he's outside.
HBO special.
There's bananas. There's apples. I'm in a grocery store.
Give him a second HBO special.
Well, great.
Let's roll up our sleeves and get down to business. The sleeves of our sport coat, that is.
Because we're 80s HBO comedians. Hey.
Yeah.
To our caller... way to go with that. Getting all those green lights or whatever it is you did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hashtag white privilege.
Oh, sure.
Very nervous. I'm glad we didn't hear more about what made the neighborhood undesirable.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I mean, it was the fucking cauldrons, right?
Yeah.
And the
although you don't often hear about a white cauldron.
It's true.
White cauldron was the original working title of Charmed, right?
There you go.
Gondelman!
Yeah.
Gondelman! Gondelman! We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Hey, we're Ben and Adam, and we're here to tell you about our Star Trek podcast, The Greatest Generation.
Why should I listen to a Star Trek podcast? You may be asking yourself. Well, ours is actually good and funny.
We joke around, we have a lot of fun, we talk about film production techniques that are used in Star Trek. We love to break down the stories and the characters, and we just have a blast while we're doing it. It's kind of like sitting around with a couple of buds, having a beer, and talking about an episode of one of your favorite shows.
So go to MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to The Greatest Generation.
Yeah, whatever you're using to listen to this, just have it. Find us and subscribe. La,
la, la, la, la, la, la, la.
Ballpark Up panel, we have just 30 seconds to prove to Max Fun listeners that we know what the F we're talking about when it comes to pop culture. All right, you guys, let's go. Famous Chris's.
Walken.
Christofferson.
Hemsworth.
Karen, what's the most iconic lesbian snack?
The wings at Hooters.
The answer is fried green tomatoes. Margaret, what is the Marvel Cinematic Universe missing?
My interest.
Winter, name someone who will EGOT in your lifetime.
Ike Barinholtz.
That's beautiful. Top Gear or Top Model?
Sadly, I have to say Top Gear.
The clear answer is Top Chef.
But Top Model taught us about smizing.
Pop Rocket, smart takes on everything. Catch us every Friday on Maximum Fun.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Josh Gondelman, just doing his best.
You know what? Your best is good enough. In fact, your best is one of the best in the goddamn business.
Hear that, you. Steve Agee? You're one of those two.
Yeah, you're both the best in the... And I bet Josh is not a talented photographer.
Mm-hmm. No. Nope.
Nor is he a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
No. Nope. Those are two of my many shortcomings. There are others.
I'd like to see Steve Agee write a joke for Desus and Marrow.
Probably did a pretty good job, actually.
Yeah, it's probably more really like setting really up good. A scenario no, for them to do their scenarios. Thing.
I did write one joke that I am very proud of, and it was a thing that had rattled around in my head for 2 years. And I was like, what if we put this in a sketch? And they did. And it's an Italian child kidnapping monster called the Bada Bing Baba Duke. And it's truly this. It like exercised it from my head. Like I don't randomly wake up thinking like "Bada Bing, Baba Duke" anymore.
Sometimes that's the only, yeah, the only way to do it.
Sometimes you have to put it on a premium cable, late night talk show.
Gotta put it on after Billions, and then you're all set.
they made a poster. They showed it to Jordan Peele as if it were a movie they wanted him to make. Truly, any time I can write a joke that wastes a genius's time, that's really my goal.
Gondelman, he's got a book coming out. What's the book going to be called?
It's called Nice Try, Stories of Best Intentions and Mixed Results.
Yeah, there you go. Let's be honest. Most of these, it's mixed to positive because this guy's one of the best in the business.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Doesn't get any better than Josh Gondelman.
Except Steve Agee.
Yeah.
And his photography.
Who's equally good?
They're both great.
Comedy album out now.
Yeah.
People can get that. They don't got to wait for that book.
No way.
But they don't got to wait for the comedy album.
No, they could shoot it right into their veins.
Any comedy.
One thing, Josh.
Yeah.
I only listen to comedy on vinyl.
Mm.
Oh, well, it's on vinyl.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can get an invite. Harder
at your
to put...
made-up-sounding record label's website.
Blonde Medicine.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Every record label sounds made up.
That's true. That's very true.
Nobody was ever just like, Super Drag. That sounds like a real business.
Yeah. what should I call my serious business? Secretly Canadian? Yeah.
Drag City. That's what I meant. Super Drag's a band, right?
Yeah.
Who sucked out the feeling? Is that them?
I think so.
Okay.
Is that Super Grass? That might be Super Grass.
I don't know Supergrass.
Oh.
Sorry.
It's a similar band.
Okay.
Anyway.
I remember that in college, our friend Jim Rayal, the master of Would You Rather, had a t-shirt that said Supergrass, but he had to explain that it didn't say the S was big and the S was big on either side, and I really thought it said Uppergrass.
That's a cool shirt, too.
Yeah. The German concept of, of grass that's better than other grass, inherently.
Yeah.
It's like what you want to seed a baseball diamond with.
Sure.
The grass is always green. It's called Uppergrass. Anyway, I'm Austrian, not German. Gotta go.
Help me, Maria. Are we still married?
Probably not, given my infidelities.
But you never know. People walk through these things.
Yeah.
I heard about these two eagles that are parenting with a third eagle.
I was a failed politician, but people like my YouTube videos making fun of the president.
I chased a horse around, or I rode a horse around.
You see that? He's on TikTok. Riding a little horse.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Gotta get on TikTok.
Nah.
Yeah, probably not. Hey, great job, everybody. Josh?
TikTok, by the way, we should explain, is the Amazon Studios talk show that follows the
TikTok. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Another great performance from Griffin Newman. Great job, Josh. Do you have any stand-up comedy dates coming up if people want to see you live?
Oh, my gosh. I'm mostly in New York because we're in production for the show, but I have a show in Los Angeles on the 25th, Thursday the 25th at Dynasty Typewriter, if this is out by then.
It will be.
Oh, terrific.
And people should go.
I would love that's right across the street from our studios.
Yeah, I drove by it on the way and I went, Thursday. I'll see you then.
But you're
that's
also...
Nice. That's nice that you greet buildings.
Only the ones that I'm, like, acquainted
with.
Yeah,
sure. You don't just say hi to a Carl's Jr.
Chase Bank. Good day, my bank.
my bank.
Brian, can we name this episode "My Bank"?
M'Bank.
Yeah, I believe that's how it's spelled.
I think it's gonna be
traditional, the old English spelling.
If you've got a call for us, 206-984-4FUN, put it in your phone or just email us a voice memo at jjgo@maximumfun.org. Our producer is Brian Sunny D. Fernandez. Josh Gondelman has been our guest. You can find him online at flooz.com. That's FLOOZ.
I'm a Bitcoin.
Oh, okay. Gondelman's a crypto.
Crypto comedian Josh Gondelman.
I think audiences have described me as such, like, is this comedy? No one can tell.
Inspector Gadget. I'm sorry. How does it apply here?
Trying to figure out if Josh is a comedian.
Oh, okay.
Well, Penny is, and he's
Penny
helping.
Is, yeah, he's kind of bumbling his way through.
And yeah, that fucking he'll space dog credit, yeah. She has.
Mm-hmm.
What's that dog doing?
You need Inspector Gadget for that. More like an Inspector Dog. What the hell's that dog up to?
I know. What's that dog doing?
Ironically, Inspector Gadget couldn't get elected dog catcher, Josh. Much less dog inspector.
It's a much, much more prestigious position.
By the way, do you like my t-shirt that says FD?
You only inspect the
federal
dog. I thought it was female dog inspector.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. MaximumFun.reddit.com. It's too warm in this studio this
week.
Too hot. Very warm. Brian Fernandez, our producer, MaximumFun.reddit.com, Jordan Jesse Go on Facebook, at Jesse Thorne, at Jordan_Morris. Josh Gondelman, what are you, Josh Gondelman, right?
Yeah.
Josh Gondelman on Twitter.
Yeah.
So that's a great place for great humor. Sure, you can find great humor, but also periodically a signature pep talks.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves these pep talks.
A lot of good stuff on there.
Everybody's talking about them. Josh Gondelman's got a positive attitude. You can probably tell from listening to this program.
Mm-hmm.
If you're feeling down in the dumps once in a while, Josh Gondelman's at an airport. He's got 20 minutes before his flight boards. He says, go ahead. I'm going to give you a quick pep talk. And people love it. It's probably as good as Pepto-Bismol.
They call me the failing man's Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I was going to say you're the rich man's Griffin Newman, but probably about the same. You guys are both doing good.
Griffin Newman, great on the tick, as I saw
on
TikTok.
Great on the tick.
Every week they talk about Griffin's performance.
Two of the best in the business.
Okay. You're out of here, AG.
Okay, we'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.